John chapter 16, going back to verse 7. We were there Sunday night. We're going to be there tonight, along with some other places. We'll be talking about the helper again. How many of you are thankful for the helper? Who is the helper? I'm sorry, my hearing's getting bad. Who is the helper? Amen. Amen. John chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you, Jesus is speaking, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Father, again, we thank you for your word. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you're seated at the Father's right hand and you have sent the person and the power of the Holy Spirit, who's also our helper. And we give you praise and glory. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Last Sunday night, we talked about what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit, that he is another comforter. I want to kind of reread that, what we read the other night. That word another in John chapter 15, verses 15 and 16 says this. One besides, the word another means one besides, another of the same kind. The word shows similarities but diversities of operation and ministries. Jesus' use of allos for sending another comforter equals one besides me and in addition to me, but one just like me. He will do in my absence what I would do if I were physically present with you. The Spirit's coming assures continuity with what Jesus did and taught. How many of you know the Holy Spirit has come? We know that. Amen. This is a Pentecostal church. We saw that the Holy Spirit is right by our side. He is our helper. He's the one called alongside to help the Paracletos, especially for those who are walking in right relationship with the Lord. We are really and truly never, ever alone. Tonight I want us to go a little further on that to see how the Holy Spirit is our helper, how the Holy Ghost helps us in a lot of ways. A lot of these things we already know. But how important is the helper? How important is the Holy Spirit for us in the life of us as believers? Christ's earthly ministry, we've said this many times, fully only began after the Spirit came upon him at the baptism. He had never done one miracle until after he was baptized in the Spirit. When he was baptized in the water and the Holy Spirit descended upon him as a dove, and the Father spoke, says, "Behold, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Jesus had never done one miracle up to that point, but after that, that's when the ministry got kicked into high gear. Can you say amen? Jesus was telling his disciples again, as we spoke the other night, in verse 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." Jesus said, to your advantage, to be better, to be good, to be more profitable for you. If Christ goes away and the comforter, the helper comes, he sent him on the day of Pentecost. And I'm so glad he did. Why was it to... With all that Jesus did, we said this Sunday night, with all that Jesus did while he was on the earth, why was it to their advantage that Jesus did leave and that the helper come? Again, what we said was when Jesus walked on the face of the earth, he could be where? One place at a time. But when the helper comes, when the Holy Ghost came, guess where he can be? He can be everywhere. Kind of like the old song said, "He's everywhere, he's everywhere." Hello. Jesus... I'm glad y'all are laughing. Y'all were kind of quiet and serious or asleep or something. Got me nervous up here. Jesus told his disciples at his ascension. He said, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you." Luke 24, verse 49. "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." Right before he left, he said, "Go and sit down in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high," because Jesus was away from them. While he was here, he gave them the power. He gave them the anointing. But But when he left, he said, you go and wait until you are endued with power from on high. We know what that power was, the person and the power of the Holy Spirit that came at Pentecost. How important is the person and the power of the Holy Spirit in reference to God the Father and God the Son? Well, Jesus makes a pretty strong statement in Matthew chapter 12. He says, basically, if you speak against the Son of Man, you can be forgiven. But if you speak against the Holy Spirit, you won't be forgiven in this life or the next. Matthew chapter 12, verse 31. Therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him either in this age or in the age to come. Now, I didn't say that. Jesus did. He said, if we speak a word against the Holy Spirit, it won't be forgiven us in this age or the age to come. That's strong stuff. Can you say amen? Amen. That's powerful. Now, we know that happened with some of the scribes and Pharisees because they attributed the works that Jesus did through the power of the Spirit. They attributed that to the works of who? To the works of the devil. They said, you cast out devils by the power of what? In other words, they were not only speaking against Jesus, now they were speaking against the Holy Spirit. And when they did that, they sealed their fate. They were in trouble at that point. Can you say amen? I want to tell you, folks need to be careful talking against the person and the power of the Holy Spirit. But with that, I don't want to get caught so much in that aspect of it. The very fact that Jesus himself put such a high emphasis on the person and the power of the Holy Spirit, the very fact that he relied on the leadership of the Holy Spirit and the guidance of the Holy Spirit all through his ministry is tremendous evidence, is more than enough evidence of how important and how much you and I need the person and the power of the Holy Spirit, the helper, each and every day of our lives. Can you say amen? Thank you, Brother Dale. Amen. I'm glad Brother Dale's getting this. Right. We need the helper. We need the Holy Ghost. And I hope I get you convinced by the time the night's over. Because so many times we try to do this, all this stuff, on our own strength. But we don't have to. Well, how does the helper help us? One way is he teaches us and helps us to remember the words of Christ. John chapter 14, verse 26. John chapter 14, verse 26. But when the helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from me. I'm sorry, that's 15:26. I'll read that one here in a minute. My Bible's pages sticking together. He says, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you, say teach. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. The helper helps us to understand what Christ has spoken unto us in his word, as well as what Christ speaks to us in our heart. He also brings things back to our mind, so many times when we need it or we need to share it, he will bring it back to us. He will bring all things to our remembrance, whatsoever Jesus has said to us. He helps us and he guides us into what Jesus shows us. He leads us. He speaks to us. Can you say amen? He teaches us and helps us to understand. He helps our understanding. And there's a couple of areas I really need is helping that understanding and helping my memory. Can you say amen? But especially when it comes to the Word of God. He says, he will teach you and bring all things to your remembrance what I said to you. Another way the Spirit helps us is he testifies of Christ. John 15:26. But when the helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from me, he shall testify of me. That word testify means to bear witness, to bear record, to affirm what has been seen or heard. He will confirm if something is of Jesus or not. That's the way we can know the difference. The Holy Spirit will always lead us back to Jesus. Now we've been talking a lot about the person and power of the Holy Spirit. Nothing is more important, let me say this, nothing is more important than our relationship with Christ. Nothing is more important than us being saved and bought by the blood of the Lamb. But what is the whole reason that he is being called the helper? Because he helps strengthen our walk with Christ. The Holy Spirit helps us to understand the words of Christ, the purpose of Christ, the will of Christ, and what Jesus would have us to do in our hearts and our lives. And he testifies when something is of the Lord. Guess what? The Holy Spirit bears record and gives it, puts it in our spirit. Can you say amen? That this is of the Lord. Can you say amen? The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the what? Children of God. He testifies of Christ. Why? Why do you think he helps us to do that? Because there's a lot of false teaching out there. There's a lot of false spirits out there. There's a lot of wrong testifying out there. Can you say amen? He testifies of Christ. He bears witness. He bears records to affirm. Here's a big one. We'll kind of stay this on this for just a minute. John chapter 16, beginning at verse 8. And when he, the Spirit, has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and they see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. He convicts the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. When the Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost, his principal work with respect to proclaiming the gospel will be that of convicting. The term, which means reprove, means to expose, review, refute, convict, and convince. This is not only when someone is lost, but it's for Christians alike. How did you know you were lost? What happened? You just woke up one day, you say, you know, I need to really do better, so I think I'll go down to the altar. No, something happened on the inside. Something dealt with your heart. Something dealt with your spirit. Something just began to, I know that something's not right. And something was not condemning you. Something was not pushing you away from God. Something was pulling you to the Lord. What is that? That is the loving, convicting power of the Holy Ghost. As we said before, does that only happen when we're sinners? No. It also happens when we're what? Saved. Hello. How do we know that? Because Revelation, are y'all still with me? I think y'all catching up. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 3:19, he says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, therefore be zealous and repent. That word rebuke is the same exact Greek word that is used in John chapter 16 where it talks about convict. It means to reprove, convict, rebuke, tell a fault, to expose. Again, the Spirit's ministry that convicts us in these areas of sin, the Holy Spirit will expose sin and unbelief in order to awaken a consciousness of guilt and need for forgiveness. Conviction also makes clear the fearful results of the guilty who persist in their wrongdoing. After conviction, a choice must be made. This will often lead to true repentance and turning to Jesus as Lord and Savior. Again, convicting us of sin is drawing us closer to the Lord. Can you say amen? Think about that. The Holy Spirit convicting of us of sin. And where is the helper? Where is the Holy Spirit? Every day. Where is he at? Do we really believe that? I want to tell you, if we would get a living truth of that in our spirit, if Christians would realize that we had the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, the Helper, right here beside us, and if we would begin to stumble and fall, that he's going to convict us, if we would realize how close he really is, I believe Christians would live a whole lot different way. Amen. I believe we wouldn't get ourselves in the messes we get ourselves in. Can you say amen? Because if we would just realize how close he is, not only where Jesus is in our hearts, but as the Holy Ghost is right there with us, can you say amen? I want to tell you, I'm thankful for the conviction of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Helper, helps us to stay on the right track. How does he convict us of sin? when we get into a questionable area that could lead to sin, in that manner, he convicts us and says, you don't need to go there. Hello? Now, we have a choice. At that point, when conviction hits, we have a choice. We can either continue on in that road, or he also convicts us, he exposes. Sometimes we're not even led that direction, but he shows us whether something is sin or not. You know, that's sin right there. We don't need to have anything to do with that. So conviction not only exposes something that we need to stay away from something ourselves, but it shows us what sin is. But it also does this. Has anybody ever felt that when the Holy Spirit kind of dealt with your heart and said, you don't really need to do that, but you did it anyway? Anybody beside me did that? You know what else happens then? The Holy Spirit convicts. He says, all right, you messed up. You know what you need to do now? Repent. But you know why he does that? Because God loves you too much to let you go. So most of the time when we sin, when we make a mistake, when we make a failure, we've already dealt with two steps of conviction. Holy Spirit, if we're sensitive to it, has already convicted, you don't need to do that. That's sin. You need to stay away from that. But if we could, in essence, see the conviction really as just a deep form of God's love that he doesn't give up on us as easy as we try to give up on ourselves sometimes, that even when we do make a mistake, even when we fail, even when we sin, he still gets his Holy Spirit to convict us that we can do what? Repent and get back in right relationship. He convicts us of sin. I'm glad he does. How about you? Then he convicts or convinces us of righteousness. Not our righteousness, the Lord's righteousness. The Spirit convinces people that Jesus is righteous, the righteous Son of God, resurrected, vindicated, and now the Lord of all. He makes them aware of God's standard of righteousness in Christ, shows them what sin is, and gives them power to overcome the world. Not through their righteousness, but his righteousness. I'm not made righteous by my own doings. I'm made righteous by his righteousness. But his righteousness, the Bible says, the righteousness of God is revealed in us. Can you say amen? We understand that we can only be made righteous through the blood of Jesus. We can only be made righteous by walking in right relationship with God. And we understand that the Holy Spirit convicts us and convinces us and shows us that it's only through the righteousness of Christ that we can be led to everlasting life and have an overcoming testimony. Can you say amen? Because in ourselves, the Bible says our righteousnesses are as what? Filthy rags. How many is righteous in themselves? The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. But we can have the righteousness of Christ applied to our lives, that we can walk in righteousness through him. Can you say amen? He leads us, he guides us, and directs us in that. And he convinces us of judgment to come so that we may stay in that state of readiness, but also have a burden for the lost. That phrase judgment means the Spirit convinces people of Satan's defeat at the cross and the future judgment of the entire human race. There's a judgment day coming for believer and unbeliever alike. For believers, we will all stand at the Bema seat of judgment, the judgment seat of Christ, because we will have to give an account of the things done in this body, whether they're good or bad. In other words, motives, attitude, actions, and things we've done. The Bible says we're going to have to give an account. We'll give an account. We'll stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And that's where our rewards, our gains and losses will be determined. Some are silver, gold, precious stones, other wood, hay, or stubble. It's all going to be tried by fire. What's going to be tried by fire? We're going to be there at the judgment seat of Christ. Believers are going to, we're going to have to give an account. We're going to have to stand before the Lord. Can you say, well, Brother Dawson, I just want to make heaven and have a little a corner in glory land. Well, that's wonderful. I do too. But we're going to have to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to have to stand before our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Going to be in heaven. Amen. But we're going to have to give an account one day. And the Holy Spirit helps us convict it and helps us to think about that. It helps us to understand that. But there's also another judgment seat, the great white throne judgment. And there will not be one believer who is in right relationship at the great white throne judgment. But every backslider, every sinner, every person whose name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I do a message that hadn't done it, did one many, many years ago called Second Death. Those, it says, death and hell shall give up the dead that are in them. I believe it's in Matthew that there's going to be a resurrection of the living and there's going to be a resurrection of the who? Of the dead. And they're going to have to stand at the judgment seat of the Father. It's going to be the judgment. God's going to be on the throne that time. And what I read in Revelation is nobody makes it through that judgment seat. The Bible says the books will be opened and another book is opened, then the book, which is a book of life. And whoever's not found in that book is cast in the lake of fire. You say, well, they're already in hell. No, death and hell have given up the dead that are in them. That's why it's known as the second death. When the Lord laid that message, I've shared this before, when the Lord laid that message on my heart, I said, Lord, how come we know a lot about hell. We know that it's a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth where all this stuff. I said, Lord, why don't we have a whole lot more information about this place called at the second judgment, the fire, lake of fire and brimstone. The Holy Spirit spoke to me. I can show you where I was at in Arkansas. He said, there are no human words to describe the torment. And it's all because people reject it. The love and the mercy and the grace of God. The Holy Spirit convicts us of judgment to come. But what can we do with that Holy Spirit? Even us as believers, what happens sometimes, that's the only way we can sin is we push aside that conviction. That's why when the Holy Spirit is convicting us, we need to heed that conviction. How does the Holy Spirit, you say, well, does that really make him the helper? Oh, yeah, you better believe it does because he's helping us stay on the right track. Can you say amen? Conviction is not a bad thing. Conviction's a good thing for us. Conviction is going to help us make heaven. Can you say amen? Because if we ever quit being convicted, we're in trouble. As long as we feel that tinge of conviction. Some folks call it getting their toes stepped on, but, you know, don't worry about the preacher. You ain't worried about the preacher. You ain't going to have to stand before him. Hello? But when the Holy Spirit deals with it, as long as he's still dealing with our hearts, there's hope. Can you say amen? And when, I like what it said in that commentary. And when that conviction comes, then a choice has got to be made. What am I going to do with it? How am I going to handle it? How am I going to respond to it? The best thing to do is go ahead and take care of it, get it under the blood. Can you say amen? He will guide us into all truth. Now, you ever been studying something and got sidetracked? I'm on the same track, but I've still got sidetracked on the same track. I know that has no sense. Verse 11 of chapter 16 says, of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. We read that. But I want to read verse 12, and Sister Sylvia, I don't think is up there. Of chapter 16, he says, Jesus speaking to his disciples, because we're going to be looking at verse 13. Says, however, verse 13 says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. But verse 12, Jesus had just told the disciples that when the Holy Spirit has come, when the Helper has come, He's going to convict this world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. In verse 12, Jesus makes this statement. He says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, verse 13 starts, however. I want to read verse 12 again. He says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak of His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. Jesus, at one point, says, you know, guys, I've got a lot more for you to understand and know, but you can't handle it right now. However, when He, the Holy Ghost, is coming, He, the Helper, comes, He will guide you into all truth. Now, Jesus is right there with them. He is there in their presence. They've been with Him for 3 years. They've seen Him do all this stuff. How come they couldn't handle what He was saying right then? What was lacking? What was missing? What was not there like they needed for them to be able to understand fully? The Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus says, I got a lot more to tell you, but you can't bear it now. But however, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. He's going to guide you. I'm going to come back to that other as soon as we finish it. Guide means to show the way, to lead, to guide. The Holy Spirit will not only show us the way to the truth, the Word, the will and purpose of Christ, but He will also lead us in how to apply it to our lives and to live it out. He will guide us into all truth. How do you apply the truth? How do you live this truth out? That's how we gain and uphold and live out our testimony. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Galatians says, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That word walk means to make one's way. Jesus told him, I'm going to come back to that again. When he says, I've got many things to tell you, but you can't handle it now. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, the Holy Spirit will show you and guide you into what I'm telling you so you can be able to put it into practice in your life. And He's not just talking about those who the Spirit was going to be around. He was talking about those who the Spirit was going to be where? In. He's talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Brother Doss, are you implying that people that are filled with His Spirit have a greater understanding to not only be able to understand the truth, but how to be able to apply it and live by it in their lives? That's exactly what I'm saying, because that's what Jesus said. He says, guys, you can't bear it now because you're not full of the Spirit. However, when He comes, He said He will guide you. You will be able to understand it more. You'll be able to know how to live it more. You'll be able to know how to apply the Word more to your life and to have a greater sense of victory in your life. There's a good thing to being Pentecostal. Can you say amen? Amen. Brother Doss, are you getting a little carried away? Absolutely not. I saw that this afternoon. I said, wait a minute, verse 12, why did He say that? And I just began to. The Holy Spirit helps us and gives us greater understanding and guides us and directs us into all truth. That's why He's our helper. Yes. We need Him. Can you say amen? Amen? The Holy Spirit helps us to do that. Number 5, He shall not speak of His own authority. Verse 13 again, however, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of His own authority. In other words, the Holy Spirit will not speak of His own initiative, but in perfect harmony and cooperation with what Jesus had showed Him. In other words, what He hears, that's what He speaks. That's what the Bible says in verse 13. And whatever He hears, He will speak. Think about this. How many of you has the Holy Spirit laid something on your heart? How many? Come on. Here's the awesome thing. He's not speaking of his own authority. Guess where he's coming? That's coming from, that is laid on your heart. It's coming right from the throne room of Christ. Amen. He's giving you exactly what Jesus has just gave him for your circumstance and your situation. That's awesome. Yes. That's awesome. He will not speak of his own authority, of his own initiative. He won't speak of himself. But whatever he hears, that he speaks. The next thing, he will tell us things to come. He will tell you things to come. That word tell means to announce, report, declare, things to come. Things to come into being, things that are going to come forth, things that will become known. He didn't say he's going to tell you things that have already been. He didn't say he's going to tell you things that are happening right now. What did he say? He says, I'm going to tell you things. How can he do that? He knows it. He's already there. He's already in tomorrow. He's already in your situation tomorrow. He's already in your circumstance tomorrow. He already knows how we need to handle it. Can you say, can I tell you he's a helper? Can you say amen? Man, I wish I knew what tomorrow's going to hold. He does. And if we're in tune and walking with him. Now keep in mind, all this is not automatic. You just don't wake up one morning and say, oh, bless God, I got all this good stuff. No, it's as you seek and hunger and thirst after the things of God. As we lay things aside and as we seek, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be what? Added unto you. It's as we're seeking. Jesus, the Lord said, he said, you'll seek me and find me when you search for me. How? With all your heart. Can you say amen in Jeremiah? How's he going to show us things to come? Well, this word is filled with things that are to come. Now, how did this word come about several hundred years ago? 1,000 years ago. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21 tells us, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. How did men like Daniel write down things that hadn't even happened yet and are going to happen? How did men like Ezekiel find out things that have not even happened? Let's go on back further than that. It talks about Enoch prophesied about the coming of the Lord. How did men like Enoch, he didn't even have, I mean, he was way before Moses. How did men like that find out about what's to come? Because the Holy Spirit showed them things to come. Where did he hear from that? Heard it straight from the throne room. Can you say amen? We need the helper. Can you say amen? I believe we can be led and taught of the Spirit and be in tune with His Spirit, and He will show us things that are about to happen and bring all the glory to Christ for His infinite knowledge. Now, I'm not talking just about tremendous prophecies, but I believe things in our personal lives, how to look out for things that may happen tomorrow. How many of you have been prompted by the Holy Spirit saying, you know, you don't need to deal with that tomorrow, or you don't need to go to on that trip next week, or you don't need to. Why did he say that? Because he knew what tomorrow already had in store. And the question is, that what we've got to do is be obedient and be listening and be sensitive and listen to that voice. Because when he shows us, those things are not just by, well, look here, he shall tell us the future. No, we're not psychic. We're not dialing 111 psychic. Hello. That's demonic. That's an imitation of the end. I'm trying to think of what the word is. The false representation of the enemy. Counterfeit. That's it. That's a counterfeit of the enemy. But we don't have to settle for a counterfeit. We can have the real. Can you say amen? Also could be known as some of the gifts of the Spirit, the word of knowledge, word of wisdom. The helper tells us things to come. Last thing tonight, The helper helps us to pray. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So many times we think that, you know, the helper helps us pray. The Holy Spirit helps us pray. In other words, he's making intercession for it. But it's more than that. The helper is the one called alongside to help. That word helps there, or in the King James Version said helpeth. Get this picture. This is the actual definition of that word helps in the original language. To lay hold along with, to strive to obtain with others, to help in obtaining, to take hold with another. The picture of that is this: when you're not quite sure what you should pray for, if you're in a weakened state for whatever reason, physically, emotionally, even spiritually, the Spirit helps us, say helps. In other words, while you're trying to do it, and you might be weak or you might be at a low point, the Holy Spirit says, that's all right. He comes alongside and he takes hold right alongside of you. Can you say amen? Does that line up with Scripture? You better believe it does, because it says his strength is made perfect when? In our weaknesses. How is his strength made perfect? Through the person and the power of the Holy Spirit, when we begin to pray in the Holy Ghost, coming along and taking a hold of the side of those things that we're praying for, those situations, those circumstances. And not only does he help us hold on and work through those things, but he is making intercessions. He's praying for us as well. Guess who else is praying for us? What does it say that Jesus is doing while he's sitting on the throne? He's making intercession for us as well. Can you say amen? He's interceding for us. And the Holy Spirit is interceding. He's taking hold of those situations according to the will of God. Can you say amen? What a benefit. What a blessing. Can you say amen? Helps and empowers us to be victors instead of victims. When we don't really know how or what to pray, or in a weakened state, when we pray in the Holy Spirit, our helper takes hold and helps us to pray, and he is praying according to God's perfect will. Tonight, these are just some of the ways the Holy Spirit helps us. If we would just really get a grip on that and realize that he is right there by our side. Men's group last night, I like what Reggie said. We need to get up and pray every morning. Holy Ghost, I can't make it without you. I need you with me today. Can you say amen? We need the helper. He's there for us. We don't have to do this thing on our own. That doesn't mean we can just back off and say, Lord, take over. No, When we're willing to do our part, the helper will help us to accomplish what Jesus would have us to do.